WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Welcome to the Everything Lydia Radio Show, where you're challenged to check your ordinary at the door and live a more remarkable life. Your host, Lydia Szefanowski, does it all. She's a lawyer, a black belt, philanthropist, and a beauty queen who is working for you. And you can hear just about everything and anything on the Everything Lydia Radio Show, from politics to pocketbooks, every Wednesday night at 6:30, only on WGBB 1240 AM or online at www.am1240wgbb.com. Now, your host, Lydia.
And greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Everything Lydia Radio Show. I'm your host, Lydia Szczepanowski. And tonight, I'm hopefully going to be interviewing someone who is an internationally acclaimed actor, producer, director, and writer. And most recently, he added the title of professional singer to his resume. My guest this evening is someone who is of Italian descent and who was born right around the corner in Astoria, Queens. He attended Seton Hall, a Catholic high school right here in Patchogue, and thereafter attended and graduated from Hofstra University, which is my alma mater as well. So despite the fact that he now lives in California, he'll always be a Long Islander. Since his resume is so lengthy, it would take me certainly an entire half hour to read it. I'm going to give everyone the Reader's Digest condensed version of his credentials. He studied with Stella Adler and is a member of the prestigious Actors Studio. He has worked opposite Sinatra, Brando, Schwarzenegger, Walker, Benigni, and Eastwood, and top directors such as Steven Spielberg, Richard Donner, and John Glenn, and with producers Joel Silver and the legendary Albert R. Broccoli, among many others. In 2007, my guest made his directorial debut with his own movie, The Dukes, and that was a parable about how the current economic crisis is affecting the everyday man. And the story follows the members of a once successful doo-wop group who, like most of the world, have fallen on hard times. And it stars Chaz Palminteri and Peter Bogdanovich, among many others. He was also the first to bring the now ubiquitous subject of profiling to public attention with NBC's Profiler when he played FBI agent Bailey Maloney for 4.5 years, and he's also so well known for his role as the Colombian drug lord Franz Sanchez in James Bond's License to Kill, as well as the Palestinian terrorist Salim Ajami in the acclaimed television presentation Terrorist on Trial. He also was in the Hungarian Ivan Nagy in The Rise and Fall of Heidi Fleiss, and of course, one of my favorite roles, he played Jake Fratelli in the classic movie The Goonies. Most recently, he filmed The Ice, The Chameleon with Stacy Keach. He completed Doonby with John Schneider, was seen in the season finale and premiere of Criminal Minds, Death Game with Wesley Snipes, and he was in Jonathan Hensley's Kill the Irishman, along with Val Kilmer, Christopher Walken, Ray Stevenson, which was in theaters this past March and April. I told you he had a lengthy resume, and this is just the condensed version, and that's just scratching the surface of the 70-plus movies and television shows he has appeared in. And lastly, and certainly not leastly, my guest recorded and launched his first album. Oh, this is going to give away my guest, Davi Singh Sinatra, On the Road to Romance. And this past February, my guest, backed by a 50-piece orchestra, performed Davi Singh Sinatra at the Thousand Oaks Performing Arts Center in Los Angeles to an audience of 1,700. Finally, and I like this quote, the Gentleman's Quarterly has compared him to silver screen classics Robert Mitchum and Lee Marvin, and Interview Magazine called him a latter-day Humphrey Bogart. Today, he's instantly recognized throughout the world and is often found chatting in coffee shops with delighted fans. My guest this evening is the one and only Robert Davi. Robert, are you there? Robert? Hello?
How are you?
Robert, I'm doing great. I was a little nervous there.
Well, you were nervous. I was nervous. I'm at the Four Seasons Hotel in Beverly Hills at a meeting on a musical I'll be doing.
And you said, I gotta go. My Lydia is waiting for me.
I've been calling and calling. I says, where the hell is everything going?
Well, I appreciate you taking the time. I really do. I know you have a very, very busy schedule. And I know that you came on during my intro, and it was really good. I just want you to know. So
was it a good intro?
It was fabulous.
I hope you did me justice.
I did. I did mention that I gave the Reader's Digest condensed version because it's so lengthy. And I have to tell you, your credentials are super stellar. So, all right. So one of the things that I mentioned, Robert, is that you're a Long Islander, right? You grew up on Long Island.
Yes, I grew up in. I was born in Astoria, Queens, mm-hmm. and then when I was five, we moved to the borderline of Deer Park and Dix Hills.
Yes.
So I went to Half Hollow Hills Elementary School, and then St. Cyril and Methodius Elementary School and Deer Park, and then I went to Seton Hall High School.
Right.
In Patchogue.
Yep.
And then Hofstra University, but yes. I'm a Long Island boy.
You are, even though, despite the fact that you were in California, once you're here, it's kind of like, you know, you're always going to be a Long Islander, which is terrific. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. Now, okay, so
you take the boy out of New York, but you can't take New York out of the boy.
That's right. That's exactly right. Now, I had the pleasure of actually spending a little time with you and chatting and interviewing you and
yes,
you
did have the pleasure.
Getting a little bit of the inside version of Robert Davi. Now, I love when you
get that inside. You don't know that much about Robert Davi, trust me.
Well, no, not that much. But suffice it to say, I remember you telling me some really fabulous stories that I want you to share. So, for example,
there's a book called 50 Shades that a lot of my stories are in those books.
Oh, boy. So. Well, isn't that just the written version of like the old 9 1/2 weeks with Mickey Rourke and Kim Basinger? Isn't it like the same thing?
I guess so.
They're always, you know, repackaging the same old story. Yeah, exactly.
Wait, what were you saying? I'm sorry.
No, that's quite all right. Okay, so I remember you telling me a story. So share with me and remind me. You worked at Fiorello's restaurant in New York City as a kid, right?
Yes.
All right. You met Sinatra there?
No.
No. Okay. Tell me, but there was some story about you working there, and then after the fact, something, you had a problem, and you went back, and tell us that.
I want to hear that. No. Anyway, here I was. All right, let me tell the story.
Yes.
All right? So here it is. I'm at Hofstra University. I left Hofstra. I went to Manhattan to study with Stella Adler in New York, mm-hmm. and get into the actor's studio and do the typical actor thing, you know, also studying voice on the... you know, in New York and stuff. And I get my first film with Frank Sinatra.
How did that happen, though?
Prior to that.
Okay.
I was working at a restaurant 2 months prior. I was mm-hmm. working at a restaurant called Fiorello's. And Fiorello's was able, where I worked 3 days a week, 4 days a week there, and I was able to pay for my railroad flat on East 71st Street, mm-hmm. my acting lessons, my singing lessons, and whatever dame I wanted to take out to dinner, you know. I was okay on that stuff. So
right.
What happens is I get fired from Fiorello's, and I got fired out of the blue.
Wrongfully, right? Wrongfully fired.
Yeah, the manager basically, I came into work one night, he says, hey, check your drawer. You didn't turn in all your checks.
Yeah.
And I says, of course I did. He says, check your drawer. So waiters had their own drawer with their own key.
Right.
I go in. And I'm a lefty, and this was so tilted to the opposite side, the handwriting. I brought it to him. I says, oh, Frank, it's not my my handwriting.
Yeah.
It's not my check. He goes, I got to let you go. And what it was he wanted payola. There was something going on that
right.
I didn't know about.
Right.
I was an innocent.
Uh-huh.
So cut to, I'm filming this movie with Sinatra called Contract on Cherry Street. And I was telling Harry Guardino the story, another terrific actor. And I had said to Harry, you know, the irony of life. No, 3 months ago I was working in Fiorello's, and now I'm here co-starring with Sinatra in my first film, and you and Marty Balson and Martin Gables and mm-hmm. all these great people. About a month later, there's a knock on my trailer door. It's Harry saying, come on, the old man wants to take us to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to dinner, and we get in the car, and there's a few of us in the car, Julie Rizzo included, and we're driving through Manhattan, and we stop outside of Lincoln Center.
Uh-oh.
Right outside of Fiorello's.
Yes.
I look over to Harry Guardino and then Sinatra, who has a cat-eating grin on his face. And he says, come on, we're going to have dinner. And there we were. Nobody said anything, but we had dinner at Fiorello's.
I love
place
that.
I was working at 3 months before, and I got fired from.
I love that story. And here you walk that's in with Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Now, how did you actually come to meet Frank Sinatra to begin with?
Well, when I knew they were doing this film, you know, it was big news that he was doing a movie in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And after not doing something for 6 or 7 years, mm-hmm. and so I was talking to my agent at the time, Barry Moss, and I said, hey, where is this, you know, submit me for the film. He says, we did, but Sinatra's using all his friends.
Mm-hmm.
I said, where's the production office? He goes, on Fifth Avenue, Columbia. I said, are they casting out of there? He goes, yeah. He says, what if I went up there? He says, go ahead. What do you got to lose?
Right.
So I did. And I go through security, go to the third floor, and there a woman sitting on the desk, a woman behind the desk, and there I was, a young 22-year-old kid with a, you know, and I just happened to say, I said, I hate to intrude, but I understand you're casting Cherry Street. I heard it's all cast, and they looked at me quizzically, and they said, not quite.
Hmm.
Do you have a picture and resume? I said, not with me. They said, we'll bring one back tomorrow.
Right.
At that moment, I said, huh, forget that. I'm going to bring back one in 10 minutes.
Right.
So I went to the agent, got the picture and resume, brought it back. They laughed. And the rest was history. They called me the next morning and said, pick up a script. I go and I pick up a script. And they say, come back at 6 o'clock at night, read these scenes. And I go and I read these scenes. And in the room is the director, the producer, and this was Sinatra, produced the film as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was his mother's favorite book, and he was there, and I wound up getting this part.
Wow. That's a great story also, I have to tell you. That is truly, you know, the rags-to-riches portion, because the next thing you know, right, now you have a film with Sinatra, and I would only...
With Sinatra, then Columbia puts me under contract,
yeah.
They fly me out to Los Angeles, and bing, bing, bing.
Bing. Then it's just a snowballing kind of effect here, and here you are today, what, over 70... Well, I mean, I printed out your, what is it, off of Wikipedia, the little list. I mean, it's ridiculous. You were in so many movies. I love that.
Yeah, so you know, over 70, over 80. Something like that, 100, who knows.
But
my most exciting thing was really me getting, you know, I currently, last month, in February, 23rd, 24th, 25th, I did another milestone, you know, besides Bond and Goonies and all those films, the milestone for me was headlining Las Vegas, the Venetian, which used to be the Sands
Hotel. Oh, you're
hotel.
Beating me to the punch, darling. Wait, we're going to get to that in a second, so let's not ruin the surprise, because I'm talking to you a lot about that one. I have a lot of information, so hold that thought for a second. But just going back, because I want to go back to the acting for a second, because, you know, first I want to say, you attended Hofstra, right? But you were trained in opera, correct?
That's correct.
So you are truly a singer. That is kind of where you started out.
That was my first off, in an Italian family, there's two figures, Sinatra and the Pope. Not necessarily in that order.
Right.
And for me, because Sinatra conquered, he was a great actor and a, you know, amazing artist as a singer, you know. So that was always in the back of my mind, having mm-hmm. a career that encompassed that world.
Right.
And, but I love the opera and classical music, so I studied opera in Florence with Tito Gobbi and worked with a guy that used to teach at Juilliard, Dan Farrow, and then Samuel Margolese, who taught Robert Merrill. And I was then, and another guy, Michael Signorelli, who was out on Long Island. That was my first guy. And that was my first entree into all of that. And I was very passionate about singing.
Right. Well, the reason why I'm bringing that up is I promise you, I swear we're going to talk about your singing, but I just want to share with everyone, and let me tell you, okay, so on a personal note, all right, I'm 47 years old. Not that everyone doesn't know that, but I used to I love that movie, The Goonies, and you were so creepy in that movie.
Creepy? Some women were very attracted to Jake Fratelli, I have you know.
I was sure they
creepy.
Were.
I was the sweet brother.
And let me tell you something. You were the reason why I'm saying that is because you're like one of the nicest guys, and you were fabulous as an actor in that movie, and it's so memorable, and it's become almost cultish, and I just think that was that before or after the 007?
Oh, no, that was way before.
Way before, okay. So now, then all of a sudden, you're now playing villains, right, and you were in 007.
Well, this is the 50th anniversary of the Bond films, and I did License to Kill, and I'm considered one of the top Bond villains of all time.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty good thing. And then I also did Son of Pink Panther, another iconic film, and Showgirls, and then Die Hard, and yeah, so.
Wow.
I just finished a movie called The Iceman.
Uh-huh. What is that about?
It's based on the serial killer for the mob, Richard Kuklinski.
Mm-hmm.
It has a marvelous cast. Michael Shannon plays Kuklinski, the Iceman. Ray Liotta plays Roy DeMeo. James Franco is in it, and Chris Evans is on the cover of GQ this month, and Winona Ryder and myself. I play a character based on Anthony Gaggi, a character named Leo Merx, who was the captain of the Gambino crime family.
Hmm. Interesting. When is that coming out?
The fall.
Great. Well, we're going to look for that. And also, I want to mention the fact that you're also, aside from being an actor, you directed your own movie, The Dukes, right?
The Dukes, yes. If you haven't seen it, go check. Where's your listening audience? Where is it?
You're so funny. Tell us a little bit about what The Dukes is about.
I'm trying to, where are mostly people on the East Coast?
Yeah.
Yeah, well
it's
not,
well, this streams live, so they're everywhere. But I would say a majority, because I'm on the East Coast, so majority of people would know of me. Although being, you know, Mrs. New York and being in Mrs. America, Mrs. International, I have at least two friends in every state in the country, so.
Well, you better.
All right, so anyway, so tell me a little bit about the Dukes, because I haven't had the pleasure.
Tom and Terry and myself play two cousins that had a doo-wop group called the Dukes.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were younger, we were on top of the world. Cut to today. Life isn't going so good, and we're working in our aunt's restaurant, and to survive, we come up with this nutty scheme after Chaz's character loses his front tooth to pull a heist of dental gold. But that's not the answer to our lives, and it's a bungled heist, and but music is, and following your heart is the answer. And it's a really, it's a commentary, Lydia, on today's, what's happening in the world today in terms of the economy taking a lot of people down, people that have done something once in their life for 20-some-odd years or so are no longer able to do that. How do they survive? How do they reinvent themselves?
Right.
So you find so I posed that question. I wanted to tell the tale in a very light-handed manner. And it won 9 awards. It was in the Rome Film Festival with Coppola and Sean Penn and Redford and Sidney Lumet. And then the Alpe d'Huez, French Alps Comedy Festival, and then in Monaco.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't seen it, it's a charming, sweet little gem of a film called The Dukes.
And where can we find that? Where do we see it? Is it somehow on
you can
video?
Find it on Amazon and, you know, some of those movie sites.
Okay. Now, aside from this laundry list of movies and television and all these wonderful things you've done, I just want to share with everyone that you also graciously took the time out of your busy schedule to meet me back in 2010 and assist my charity, the National Organization for Women's Safety Awareness. And we did a video that we used at Hofstra University. We did a presentation called Voices for a Cause. And I know that you felt so strongly about that topic of violence against women because you and your family suffered a great loss to violence, right?
Yes.
And what? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, without getting too into it, my sister, who was 20 at the time, and this was years ago, was basically kidnapped and killed by her ex-boyfriend.
Mm.
And so that was, and then there was a whole bunch of abuse that was listed along. That we found out later on, and so that's one of the things that the danger of that and the peril of abusive relationships.
Well, I thank you for your time, and I do hope that you will continue to work with us. And, you know, after the show, obviously, we're going to pick up where we left off. And don't think, you know, I'm like the mob. Once you're in my life, you don't get a chance to leave. So,
don't worry, I still haven't.
I don't know where that one's going, but now, just so you know, in front of me,
I still haven't done all I could.
Right. No. Not even. We just scratched the surface because I have a lot of plans for you. Let me tell you. All right. But you know, I have to tell you, I'm looking at this list, and unfortunately, we only have a half hour show. I could talk to you for hours, and you know, time just goes by so quickly. And I want to now jump to, aside from all the awards that you have, your singing career. You had mentioned earlier that you know, you're now, you just launched, well, we'll get to that again, launched the CD, but I want you to know, and I want everyone out there to know, I had the privilege of attending the opening night of your worldwide premiere, Davi Sings Sinatra, a tribute to Sinatra, the great American songbook, and America, at Hofstra University. This was back in 2010, right?
Yes.
And I have to tell you, you have some set of pipes, brother, and you were terrific. So I was...
Well, that was the first performance. Here. You know, I had a dream to do this for years.
Uh-huh.
And finally, I did it. And the exciting part about it is the reception that and I chose Hofstra to call Bob Spiota up. I said, let me try this out here, see if it's going to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went from my living room with a three-piece, bass, drums, and the piano,
right,
in front of a 30-piece orchestra at Hofstra University for the first time, and those were my first three performances. And since then, I mean, it's like, and we got standing ovations and great response.
You did.
Out of that show.
You did, and let me tell you, I was sitting right behind Irvin Drake. All right, so Irvin Drake, for those of you who don't know, is one of the last living legends of the great American songbook, and he actually wrote the classic It Was a Very Good Year, which,
yes,
again, spectacular. You did so well. That was one of my favorites that you had performed. And he attended the opening night because, like I said, I sat right behind him. He was with his whole crew. And he was so impressed with what he saw and what he heard, he returned two nights later to attend the final performance, and he left you a message. And I'm going to quote, and I love this. It says, Robert Davi would make a worthy successor to the incomparable Frank Sinatra, whether in the fields of stage, screen, or television. And having been chosen years ago by the master himself to act in a film side by side with him, this is not a vain pronouncement. I call that an endorsement. I thought that was really wonderful. I mean, here's someone...
Well, it was a tremendous endorsement, and yeah, I've gotten tremendous response. I headlined, like I was trying to say earlier, mm-hmm, the Venetian in Las Vegas.
Yes. And
so let me tell you something. There's nothing like seeing your billboard on the 15 going into Vegas, and then on the strip, Davi Sings Sinatra,
yeah,
outside the place that used to be the Sands Hotel.
Right.
And recently, a few nights ago, I had dinner at Quincy Jones's house,
mm-hmm,
who was very close to Sinatra. Mr. Jones, you know, they call him Q, was just a legendary guy, and I was there with him till late in the morning, and he listened to my whole album, shaking his head, going, wow. He says he's never heard anybody. He gave me a great endorsement from Quincy Jones, and Phil Ramone produced my album, and Al Schmidt mixed it. It's Davi Sings Sinatra, On the Road to Romance. If your listeners haven't gotten it, and your friends, please go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or iTunes and have a peek at it, and get that album and tell your friends about it.
And you know what? I went to your website earlier today, and the audience can actually get a little taste of, I think it's a couple of seconds of your songs, and they're going to see how wonderful you sound. You really do. And let me tell you, you're talking about the Thousand Oaks Performing Arts Center when you did your 1,700 audience,
yeah,
members. I'm going to read Charles Granata, who is actually Sinatra's producer, author, and a historian. You ready? And I'm going to do this because you're going to blush here. But it's theatrical, heartfelt, and beautifully staged and sung. While incorporating a swagger and style that evokes Sinatra, Davi, whose rich and multicolored baritone is remarkably confident, shuns imitation, instead bringing his unique and exciting actor's edge to the performance. That was good, too. See, I highlighted all the little, the great testimonies. And, you know, I wanted everyone to know that, I mean, you know, this performance was not just you in front of a mic. You had, you really personalized it. You spoke to the audience, and it was a songbook. It wasn't just a performance. It was really special because now, I don't know, I guess nowadays, and which, by the way, let's talk about nowadays. One of the reasons why, I believe, was it that it was so important for you to do this, right, to have this CD. It wasn't just because you wanted to sing.
It's not just me wanting to sing. It's
right.
Because we have the divisiveness in our society today.
Mm-hmm.
Not only a racial divisiveness, but now this economic divisiveness, and there's a discontent with both parties in the political process, and a loss of romance with our country and with each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lack of civility. And this music was a time when our parents and our grandparents went through tremendous stress and difficult times, and it brought us all together. It was filled with optimism,
mm-hmm.
and hope and poetry and respect for women, going back to the woman thing, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
When a song in 1958, All the Way, wins Best Oscar, and then you figure what won Best Oscar a few years ago, it's Hard Out There for a Pimp, you wonder what's going on in terms of the dissipation of our society.
Right.
So I want to be able to do what I can to bring this music to the forefront, because I consider it the Shakespeare of American music.
Right.
And it's important for all of us to support it and continue bringing it to the youth, so they understand the poetry and the lyricism of a way of life.
Right, exactly. And this is one of my favorite lines is, you know, for women, dye your roots, don't forget them, because this is history, this is culture, this is tradition. I mean, it think about it. This was something that became a lifestyle. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's also so American in that it comes from the struggle of the black jazz and mm-hmm. jump blues artists. It comes from the Irish, Scottish, Welsh, German, Swedish immigrants like Johnny Mercer. It comes from the inordinate number of the sons and daughters of Jews and Jewish immigrants
mm-hmm.
that created the songbook. So this amalgam of culture and personality and race and create this American songbook that just is it's gone into the realm of being classical right now.
Right, absolutely. Well, like I said, I think that everyone out there should go onto your website or go to Amazon and,
get 10 copies.
Get 10 copies.
Give them as gifts.
Right, exactly. But, you know, I have to share one more quote. This was from USA Today. Now, this had to do with your CD, and it said, listening to it, you just know Sinatra would have smiled, given Davi a light tap on the cheek, and said, nice job, kid.
That's a good quote.
Fabulous. I absolutely love it. So, all right, Rob.
There's a couple of quotes that are very meaningful to me. One by Emil Richards, who's considered the top five player in the world. He's mm-hmm. a legend. He played with Sinatra from 59 to 74, and what he said, and some of these guys that played with Frank, it's just thrilling. And Don Heckman, one of the toughest critics around
mm-hmm.
For the Los Angeles Times and everything. So I've gotten a tremendous response, and I'm very grateful. And even people like Robin Leach.
Yep. Robin Leach, let's see. What did he write? I have him right over here somewhere. You ready? Robin Leach wrote, I haven't been to a first night performance ever where the audience nearly refused to leave the showroom. That's flattering, too. So,
yeah, I mean, it was just so the show, I love doing it, Lydia, I got to tell you.
I know. Well, you can tell. Like I said, I had the pleasure of actually seeing you perform, and you have passion, and I think that that's the difference. You're not just singing. This is you're acting also, and you're speaking and you're singing.
And I'll be doing a couple of performances, one at the Metropolitan Club, June 4th in New York City, and also June 26th and 28th.
And this is great. Well, you know what I'll do? I'll put out some messages on Facebook, and we'll this is being taped, so we can hear this again, or maybe I'll play it next week. But what else do you have? So you have Metropolitan. You have any movies coming up or anything like that?
Well, I know
you
just Iceman, mentioned, like I told you, mm-hmm. and also this Broadway workshop that we're going to be doing, and a play based on the life of Sammy Davis. That if everything goes well, we'll be doing that.
Great. Well, yeah. Robert, can you believe the time has come? now, Robert, seriously, if someone wants to one more time get a copy of your CD, or if they want to get more information about you, how can they do that?
Well, they can go to DaviSingSinatra.com. www.davi, Davi, D like in David, A V like in Victor, I SingSinatra.com, or go to Amazon mm-hmm. and type that in, Davi Sing Sinatra on the Road to Romance. Or Barnes and Noble, and You know, that's it.
No, that's fabulous. Let me tell you, I must have said that. And like I said, I don't get impressed that often, but you really were great. And I encourage anyone out there to get a copy of the CD for their...
Well, we hate to please, and I hope to impress you even much further in the future.
Well, I'll come out with a couple of my friends maybe in June, and we'll see you at the Metropolitan. So thank you, Robert, again. I appreciate your time, and that's it for tonight. And I welcome everyone to please tune in to the Everything Lydia Radio Show next week and every Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. right here on WGBB, 1240 a.m., or streaming live via webcam at www.am1240wgbb.com. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate it.
You're a marvelous woman and beautiful and intelligent.
Oh, you're so
family
sweet.
Family girl. God bless you and your family and all your friends, and looking forward to seeing you soon.
I will definitely see you soon. And Robert, remember to go check your ordinary at the door and go live that remarkable life. We'll see you soon.
Take care.
Join us for more of the Everything Lydia Radio Show every Wednesday night at 6:30 right here on WGBB 1240 AM. Have a legal question? Go online to AskLydiaTheLawyer.com. And to learn more about our host, Lydia Szczepanowski, or to hear a piece of tonight's show you might have missed, visit EverythingLydia.com. Thank you for joining us.